have done is I have figured out what a mom would say in a 24-hour period, and I have condensed it to 2 minutes and 55 seconds. So strap on your seatbelt. Here we go. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleep, be ahead. Here's your clothes and your shoes. Hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot? Are you cold? Are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast and extra salad. It's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tall. So when the Lord is gone, we'll be seeing you at 3-2. Don't forget, your piano lesson is this afternoon. So you must play, don't shovel. Choose lovely, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside, don't play rope. Would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Work it out, wait your turn, never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make a bed, do it now. Do we have all day? Were you born in a barn? Would you like some hay? Can you even hear a word I say? Hey, get off the phone. Don't sit so close, turn it down. No texting at the table. For the counsel I gave you so willingly, but right now I thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew, we'd appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two of the stuff you hate. Use your fork, do not burp, or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an A, get a door, don't be smart with me. Get a grip, get a hero, get a 2-3. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD, get a ghost. I don't care if you're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. You jumped in.
Quite a few years since we've showed that. I thought you might enjoy it. Mom's jobs are hard, aren't they? They truly are. I am in full agreement with that. This morning, the title for the sermon is Motherhood, God's Gift to Mankind. God's Gift to Mankind. And we'll be reading out of the second chapter of Luke, verses 25 through 35. Be reading, as Brian said this morning, about a very special mom. And we'll do that in just a little bit, but before we get to that, I want to do a little something else to honor and acknowledge moms. I know Ryan had everybody stand up, but I won't do that. I'll just ask, how many grandmas do we have here, and ask you to raise your hand. Look at all them grandmas. Being grandma's fun, isn't it? Happy Mother's Day, Grandma. Honestly, being a grandparent is one of the best things about these golden years, isn't it? In fact, there's a plaque at our home there by the fireplace that reads, if I knew grandkids were this much fun, I would have had them first. And that's how Deb felt about it. She bought that plaque. Now, how many mothers are expectant mothers? We don't want to bypass them. How many mothers are expectant mothers? Mothers are expectant mothers. Mothers are expectant mothers. Raise your hand. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. You've been given a job that only you can accomplish. And that's the truth. Let's see if I can do something that might cover everybody who's left. How many of us here this morning had a mom? A mother? Congratulations. God has blessed you with life. And you are very blessed indeed. You know, those who make their living knowing about such things, they warn pastors and preachers every year they do this. They warn us to be careful on Mother's and Father's Day. Because not everyone has had the same experience, memory, family, and our home life. And I know that's true because it was true in many of the lives of some of the friends I had growing up. And I've certainly witnessed it myself in many homes since then. We didn't all have the same upbringing, did we? But even if our experiences aren't all the same, every one of us can and should still be grateful for life, shouldn't we? Even though our experiences weren't the same, and I'm not saying that they were, I'm not saying that we've all had wonderful experiences with our moms. I'm not, because I know sometimes it doesn't happen. But we can all still be grateful that God has gifted us with life. Now, as I said, they make a living knowing about such things, and I don't profess to know more than they do. But when did we start hiding, and when did we start ignoring what was right in order to protect or preserve what's wrong? When did we start doing that? We do it, don't we, nowadays? Our society does it. The majority of our society does that very thing. They ignore what's right to preserve what's wrong, to protect what's wrong. If we are alive, and if we're here, it's a pretty good bet that we probably are alive, then every one of us, some of us might be asleep, but we're alive. Every one of us still has the ability to ensure that our life makes a difference. We've been given a gift. Life is a gift. We can ensure that our life makes a difference in the world around us. Every one of us has that ability. We do. I don't care what society tells us. Every one of us has that ability to make a difference in the world around us. You didn't grow up like I did, and I didn't grow up like you did. But praise God, we both grew up. We're here. We both grew up, didn't we? Once when I was young and complaining, I used to be young one time, a long time ago, and I was complaining about how unfair everything was. Believe it or not, I did that pretty often when I was young. My mom told me something that was very, very profound. I'll never forget it. Took me a long time to really need to see what she was talking about, but when I got it, I got it. She told me that life is what you make it. Life is what you make it. That's a very profound, very true, stand on its own statement, isn't it? It truly is. And if we have life here today, we've been gifted with something. And we have the ability to make it into something. And my mom's adherence to it, or her lack thereof, doesn't change that truth. My mom had issues with it herself. She did. But so many times it's easier to give advice than it is live it, isn't it? We find that in each one of us, don't we? But her lack of or her adherence to it didn't make it any less true or any more true. It stands by itself because it's true. So her lack of adherence to it or her adherence to it didn't give me excuse to ignore its truth either because it was true. I couldn't say, but Mom, you don't do that. Because that wasn't what Mom was saying, was it? Mom was saying that my life was what I make it. That's why the statement is so true, so profound. Because it speaks to each one of us. And each one of us are accountable for our own lives, aren't we? That's something that society seems to have forgotten too. We're each one of us accountable for our own lives. For our own actions. Nowadays, somebody does something stupid and they want to blame a whole industry. They want to blame a whole group of people when the truth is you had one stupid person. Hold that person accountable. That's what that statement is saying. Your life is what you make it. And it applies to each one of us individually. And that truth applies to us. No matter if those around us that are even sharing that advice with us are adhering to it or not. The truth still applies to each one of us. An adult society shouldn't continue to use childhood as an excuse for ignoring the truth. They shouldn't. We can't be 75 years old and still blame our problems on our parents. But we try, but we can't. And when we stand before a holy, righteous God, and one day we, every one of us will, it's what the Bible says, it won't be anybody that we have to account for other than us. It won't matter what anybody has or hasn't done to us. It matters what we did or didn't do ourselves. That's the truth. That's one thing we as a church need to know, as adults we need to know, and certainly the society that we live in needs to understand. We need more of that truth in the world around us. Our upbringing can be mimicked, or it can be overcome. We can be the parents we never had, or we can be the ones we had. But we need to understand it is ours to do. Ours. You and I. Individually. Paul, in admonishing the Ephesians and us in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, quoted the fifth commandment when he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." So many times, children who have been mistreated become adults who mistreat simply because they refuse to forgive those who have mistreated them. As you get older, you begin to realize that you can't really do anything to make people do what they should do, can you? As you get older, you begin to realize it's hard enough just trying to keep after me. It is. All of us could say amen. It is tough enough taking care of my business. Then why do we try to spend so much time taking care of everybody else's? We talked about this morning in Sunday school, because sometimes the truth is hard to swallow, isn't it? It's hard to accept. But the truth is, you would have enough to do and I would have enough to do just trying to take care of our own business. Take care of our own life. Respond the way we should respond. We can't do anything about how other people respond. So many times, adults who have been mistreated become adults who mistreat simply because they refuse to forgive those who have mistreated them. Why do you think Jesus included our model prayer, "Father, forgive us our trespassers as we forgive those who trespass against us"? Why did he tell us that? Why did he tell us it was important for us to forgive those who have wronged us? Does unforgiveness hurt those who have trespassed or those who have been trespassed upon? When we go around with an odd in our heart towards somebody, it hurts us. It affects our life. We shouldn't become adults being mad at our parents and then grow old being mad at our parents. We've just wasted our whole life being mad at our parents for a mistake they made. And let that mistake carry over to our life. It's important that we forgive those who have wronged us. Because having that unforgiveness in us takes the joy out of our lives, ruins our lives. If somebody has done something to us when we were small, we need to let that go. We don't need to keep allowing them to do something to us now. We need to let it go. We need to forgive them. We need to ask God to forgive them. That's what Jesus tells us to do, to pray for those who have wronged us. It's important. It doesn't change them at all. They'd be much happier knowing you're upset at them still, probably. But it changes something within us when we forgive those people who have wronged us. It makes us the vessel that He's purposed us to be. And when we become the vessel He's purposed us to be, that's when our life really starts to be abundant, isn't it? Jesus said He's come so we'd have life, and so that we'd have life abundant. The only abundant life that exists on this planet is in Jesus Christ. We can't be walking around mad at everybody. We can't be walking around with hate in our heart and be in Jesus Christ. We can't do it. The Bible tells us we can't. Our life won't be abundant if we do. We need to pray for those people. And not just pray so those coals would come down on their head. It doesn't work that way. Pray so that they truly find forgiveness. That they truly find Christ. Because that changes us. That changes us. Allows us to be the vessel that He's called us to be. I know we all haven't experienced the same childhood. But honoring or not honoring or forgiving our parents for their transgressions against us can and will prevent us from being the parent that God has purposed us to be. It will. And we need to understand that. All of us make mistakes. Some have had many more mistakes upon us. But all of us do. No doubt I've made one or two trying to raise my kids. No doubt you have too. Now I know I'm not making light of some of the things that have happened in our lives, but I'm telling us we have to let those things go. We can't let them have control of our whole life. We can't. If there's anything I've learned being almost 60 years old is that I can't do anything about yesterday. I can't. I haven't seen anybody yet that could, they try in the books sometimes, that can change history. You can't. It is what it is. It's enough to focus on today. The Lord told us that. Focus on today. Let yesterday go. Put tomorrow where it belongs, in His hands. Focus on today. And let's focus on ourselves, on what we can be in Him. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, or don't think I am, because I'm not. Being a parent, especially being a mom, even under the best circumstances, is a very, very tough job. Because even if she performs the job according to God's purpose, according to His will, according to His work instructions, every child, just like every adult, is still an individual, aren't they? With an individual personality and an individual will. We all have individual wills, right? In fact, the very thing that prevents God from having grandchildren, our individual will may be the reason we hold mom in such high esteem and celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day the way we do. Mother's Day especially. I can speak because I'm a father. I can knock us guys down a little bit. But mothers are very, very special. The relationship between mom and child, when it is as God has designed it, it is as close to the relationship we have with God as any that I've discovered. It absolutely is. That relationship is described throughout God's Word in many different places. But I think 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, does as good a job as any of describing and defining how God feels towards us. As we read through this scripture, let's see if God's name doesn't fit in the place of love every time it shows up. And as we're thinking in that direction, let's stop and see also if you couldn't insert the word mom. Scripture says love suffers long and is kind. Certainly God does that, doesn't He? Certainly motherhood, when it is as He's designed it, works the same way. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Mom, when she is as God has designed and purposed her, would fit in every one of those places of love. We know that God would. Mom is more than a title, isn't it? It's even more than an entitlement. When it is as God has designed it, motherhood is God's gift to this world. Let's look at Luke 2:25 through 35. Scripture says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. We thank you for what this day has come to represent to so many of us. We thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to establish motherhood, that you made a way that when we were very small, there was somebody there to protect us, that would give of herself and not think of herself at all, but put us first always. We thank you, Lord, for each mother that's here this morning, each grandmother, each mom-to-be. We pray your blessings upon them today, Lord, as only you can bless. We pray, Lord, we pray for your presence. We pray that you would draw us close to you and find within us the vessels, the people that you've called us to be. We pray, Lord, that for this time we live in, for this world around us, for those that are so lost, Lord, to us it's impossible. They'll never see the truth. But Father, we know all things are possible through you. So we look to you this morning for guidance, for direction, for strength, for faith, that we might be what you've called us to be, that they might see you within us. Lord, it's our heart's desire. I pray, Lord, for each mother that's here today. I know the job is hard, Lord. It's harder than we could imagine. Lord, we never stop being their parents. It doesn't matter how old they are. We never stop. And Father, we know that as hard as it is for us, it was so much harder for Mary. It's so much harder for you, Lord, as you saw your son hang in our place. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you made a way where there was no way. Lord, if it was left up to us, every one of us would spend an eternity in hell. But Lord, you saved us, and we thank you so much for that. Lord, let us be the vessel of your purpose for this time, Lord Jesus, that you've appointed to us, that the world around us might see the truth within us, that the families around us might see the truth within us. Lord, strengthen the parents that are here this morning, especially the moms, Lord, that your light would shine forth. For it's your light and your presence that we seek. We pray for each one that's here this morning, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts as only you can. And Lord, that none of us would leave this place in the same condition that we came. But we'd all leave according to your will and your purpose. We give you the praise and the glory for it. For it's in your name that we ask. Amen. Jesus is about 40 days old here in this scripture. We know that because verse 22 speaks of Mary's days of purification being completed. And Leviticus 12:2 states that 40 days after the birth of a son, a woman was ceremonially clean, and able to present her son to the Lord and offer a sacrifice. And that's what they had come to do. We can also know that they are either at the court of Gentiles or the court of women, because both would have been considered second-class citizens and would not have been allowed into the inner courts. That's very foreign for us, isn't it, to think that way, to think that anybody could be that way. But many in that part of the world still feel that way today. They do. And I wonder if we don't find ourselves sometimes looking at the lost that way. Should we hold ourselves in higher esteem than we do them? Should we, the Church of Jesus Christ, hold ourselves in higher esteem than what we do people that are lost? We read about the people that are lost every day in the paper. We hear about them every day on the radio. We see about them every day in the news. They're doing terrible, terrible things, aren't they? When we read about those things, they have an emotional effect on us, don't we? Don't they? I'm sorry. Sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I'd like to do something about it. I really would. It's only human. We're all human. But we have to be very careful that we don't start holding ourselves in higher esteem than what we hold them. Because as I understand the Word, the only reason that we're here this morning, the only reason that this place exists is for them. Right? Think about it. If the last person that was going to give their heart to Christ had done so, what would happen? We'd all go home. We're here that they might have a chance to see and hear and accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in truth, we are only here because of them. We only exist in this place because of them. This church is because of them. It's a place certainly for us to gather together as His body. But when we gather together as His body, the purpose is that the world might see Him. We want the world to see Him, don't we? That's all they need to see, church, is Him. He told us if He's lifted up that people will be drawn to Him. His presence, Jesus Christ, is who they need to see within me and who they need to see within you. Who I hope they see when they come here. But that's the reason we're here. And we have to be very careful that as we're seeing and hearing of all these things that are taking place, that we don't forget that. That we are here for them. When Jesus said it was finished, He meant it was finished. He meant that everything that needed to be done for every soul, ever been, ever going to be saved, had been accomplished in Him. Because He was, is, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the only begotten Son of God, the only one who could pay the debt. What we have to understand is that debt's been paid for them if they'll only accept it. No matter what they've done. No matter what we've done, right? His sacrifice paid my debt. His sacrifice paid their debt. We have to be careful we don't lose sight of that. Now, shifting back to mothers. As I said earlier, being a mom is a very tough job, isn't it? But can you imagine mom or grandma or aunt or expectant mother? Can you imagine being chosen to be mom for God's Son? What a blessing, huh? What an honor. What a responsibility. Luke 1:28, having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Would you attempt to raise God's Son without having the Lord with you? Is there any other way to raise our children? Having the Lord with us is the best way to undertake any and every aspect of our lives, truthfully. It's really the only way to enjoy life, to understand life. But Mary and Joseph were given a very special child, weren't they? But honestly, all children are special, aren't they? It's what Jesus said. He said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." We can learn a lot from a child. First and foremost, they ask questions. We can learn that it's okay to ask questions. God already knows our heart and our mind. He knows us so much better than we know ourselves, because he knows us as we are, and he loves us anyway. So it's okay to ask questions. My 4-year-old grandson asks questions all the time. Mostly, why? 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 But they trust us too, don't they? They ask questions because they want to learn, and we should want to learn. We should. It's the way God has designed us. But they also trust. And we could follow that example too. Trust. Mary's firstborn son was especially special, wasn't he? Let's look at verses 25 through 33 again. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You know, this is the only time Simeon is mentioned in Scripture. We don't know anything else about him. But what an epitaph, huh? To have that written on your tombstone, just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Is there any of us here that wouldn't like to have that? And his response, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. He's following the Spirit. And took him, Jesus, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for your my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. Praise God, all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. How blessed to only be known and remembered for fulfilling God's purpose. I don't think I've ever asked for an amen before, but I think I need one there. How blessed to be remembered that way. Is there any other higher mark that we as Christians would ascertain or seek but to be remembered for fulfilling God's purpose, for seeking His purpose with our life? Amen. Honolulu, I want to go there. As I alluded to earlier, we all have one shot at this thing called life. Every one of us. We would do well to understand that. We really would. I don't want to say that's the only thing I want you to get here, but we would do well to understand that. We all have one shot at this thing called life. It is ours to do. No one else's. Life really is what we make it. When there's not one of us here this morning are going to stand before a holy, righteous God and blame anything about us on anybody else. He gave us the gift of life. He gave us the instructions. He sent His Son to die in our place. When Jesus said it was finished, as I said earlier, He meant it. It was finished. Everything that needed to be done was done. We have no excuse. When we stand before a holy, righteous God who died in our place, we have no excuse. We cannot blame it on anybody else. We would do well to understand that. We really would. It is ours to do. That doesn't necessarily mean we can change our lot or the hand we've been dealt. It doesn't. Life is cruel, believe me. It is. It doesn't mean we can change that. But it does mean we can change, or we can control how we react to it. It does. That's just a simple line on a page, isn't it? It's not easy. But it does mean we can. We can be as those little children, and we can rest in His arms. Trust Him for it. Follow Him as Simeon did. Look to Him as Simeon did. Let Him be the direction of our life. And one day, we'll stand before Him. And He'll say, enter in. And all of this garbage will go away. Every bit of it will be gone. It won't amount to anything. How wonderful to be known for following His Spirit, fulfilling His purpose. That is our heart's desire, isn't it? That's not easy for the flesh. The flesh has to die in order for that to happen. We have to put ourselves aside. We have to live according to the Spirit, according to our faith in Christ. I'd love to tell you that's easy, but it's not. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Can we imagine what they were feeling? I mean, they knew what they knew. They had witnessed the things they'd witnessed. They'd seen in Elizabeth. They'd seen the baby jump Mary had when she came in. They'd seen all these things. The Holy Spirit had sent an angel to talk to her. Joseph had been talked to. They'd both been talked to. But here was somebody else coming in off the street to confirm it. Can you imagine what they would have been feeling? The awe and the responsibility, the blessing that they knew had been put upon them. They were in charge of God's Son. That's not all. The king was looking for God's Son. And they were in charge. I don't think it was them that protected him, do you? I don't think it's us that are really protecting our children. That's why we dedicate our children, isn't it? We dedicate them formally here, but we dedicate them every day, don't we? If you're a parent, you know what I'm saying. We dedicate them every day, don't we? It doesn't matter, as I said when I was praying, it doesn't matter how old they are, how young they are, we still do it every day. We have to trust Him for it. They had to trust Him. They were given a monumental task that they could have never accomplished. She was but a child herself. What we know about him, he wasn't. But they were just two, taking care of God's Son, entrusted with God's Son. They had to depend on God for it. We would do well to follow their example. Can you imagine how it would have been to be the parent? Especially the mother, the mom of the one who would save the world. Save the world. I know I've shared this before, but a long time ago, a very wise man once told me, little kids, little problems. Unfortunately, big kids, big problems. I can't tell you how many times time has proven him to be wise. Don't doubt more than he ever knew himself, for sure. I know that for sure because I know he has lost some of his adult children. But this beautiful, miraculous little boy that Mary was entrusted with was destined to become the man who would forever change our world. Can you imagine what they must have been feeling? What she must have been feeling? Look at verses 34 and 35 one last time and I'll prepare to close. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes. a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know what makes parenting, especially motherhood, such a tough job? You want the easy or the complicated answer? They're both the same. It's sin. It's sin that breaks mom's hearts. It's sins that keep mom up at night. One day, one which would come way too soon for Mary, I'm sure, this precious little boy whom God had given her was going to die for sin. He was going to pay the penalty for the world's sin. And I think what made it even worse than that, because I understand it a little bit, because it was for mine too, was the fact that it was for her and Joseph's sin, as well as the world's. She knew that he was dying in her place. But their recourse was really no different than ours, because Mary, Joseph, the apostles, everyone who's ever been or ever going to be, we all, every one of us, have to trust God in order to overcome sin's hold on us. We have to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's no way any of us here this morning are going to stand before a holy, righteous God and hear, "Well done, enter in," if we don't know Christ. If we don't have a relationship with Him and trust Him as our Savior, follow Him as our Lord. We don't know about Joseph, but we know Mary did. She followed Him all the way to the cross. She watched Him as life left Him. How hard it must have been to know that that was for her, as well as those who put Him there. Every one of us have to trust God in order to overcome sin's hold on us. Because Mary's son came for that purpose. Jesus Christ is God's gift to mankind, to every one of us. Whether we know it or not, whether we accept it or not, doesn't change who He is. He is who He is. He is God's Son, the only hope for this planet, the only one. We're going to have a song of invitation. If God's Spirit has spoke to you this morning, then that's exactly what it is. It's an invitation to answer whatever His Spirit has placed on your heart. Would you all stand, please?